It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Happy Friday. Welcome aboard, everyone. Today's the day New York schools begin banning students who are not vaccinated. That 14-day grace period ends today. Unvaccinated kids being turned away until they get the mandated shots. Now, back in June, the state eliminated the religious exemption to the child vaccine law. That move affected some 26,000 students statewide. We'll have more on the controversy coming right up. Kids across the country, around the world, skipped school today to protest climate change.
Now! Climate action! Now!
Correspondent Matt Piper has more on a massive climate change demonstration going on right now in New York City.
The march is expected to draw thousands and will commence after about a mile in Battery Park. That's where 16-year-old Swedish climate activist Greta Thunberg is expected to speak. She and others recently filed a constitutional climate lawsuit against the government.
Conservative activist Jonathan Honig says the climate strike sends the wrong message.
Are there no rules? Are just no order in school? I mean, I feel sorry for these kids. They have been indoctrinated into this climate hokum for years now, for decades. But, you know, at least the protesters back in the 70s, the Vietnam protesters, those kids at least had a point. This is just an excuse to miss school.
Climate strikes are happening in over 1,000 cities nationwide, including New York, Chicago, and Washington, D.C. New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio calling it quits in the race for the White House.
I feel like I've contributed all I can to this primary election, and it's clearly not my time, so I'm going to end my presidential campaign.
So what do New Yorkers think about that?
He was wasting time away from the city.
Hopefully he'll go back to doing what he should be doing, which is running New York.
It's definitely not his time now. I'm not sure if it ever will be.
De Blasio's departure brings to 19 now the total number of Democrats left in the race. High water near Houston, the remnants of Tropical Storm Imelda, continue to make a mess of southeast Texas.
Some of these people had to wait 3-4 foot of water just to get out.
Correspondent Gabe Gutierrez.
Residents telling us that this was even worse flooding than they saw during Hurricane Harvey 2 years ago.
First responders have made nearly 2,000 water rescues. Amanda Waters lives in Beaumont.
Things are replaceable. Lives aren't. Water's dangerous. Don't risk it. Don't drive. Just stay put.
And there's more rain in the forecast there. Weatherman Dave Parkinson.
Everything is so saturated. All the bayous, creeks, and rivers are now at full capacity. So anything that you're getting in addition is going to flood.
Some suburbs of Houston under 40 inches of water. Hundreds of flooded out vehicles are stranded on freeways there. President Trump rolling out the red carpet today for the newly elected Prime Minister of Australia. A state visit for Scott Morrison, just the second at the White House since Mr. Trump took office.
And we look forward to hosting you for a state dinner tonight in the Rose Garden. It will be quite something.
Morrison, like Trump, a political conservative, the two share a similar worldview.
We see the world through the same lens. Australians and Americans continue to stand together.
The world leaders will be traveling together to an Australian-owned paper mill in Ohio next week. Congressional Democrats demanding answers following a whistleblower complaint about President Trump has to do with alleged promises that he made while on a phone call with the leader of Ukraine. The Director of National Intelligence has blocked that complaint from being made public. Former Trump campaign advisor Michael Caputo.
This is a calculated leak that has kind of been dribbled out over a couple of days, designed to damage Donald Trump as much as possible. And it's also coming from what people say at the Washington Post, an intelligence community source that has now left the administration. That sounds an awful lot like an Obama plant to me.
President Trump denies saying anything inappropriate with a foreign leader. Correspondent Stephen Portnoy continues our coverage.
The president's lawyer says his client would have had every right to call the leader of Ukraine and demand investigations into Joe Biden and his son Hunter.
These are crimes of major proportions.
In a combative interview on CNN, Rudy Giuliani accused Joe and Hunter Biden of taking part in a massive bribery scheme.
You want to cover some ridiculous charge that I urge the Ukrainian government to investigate corruption. Well, I did, and I'm proud of it.
Giuliani says in 2016, Biden urged the firing of Ukraine's top prosecutor because he alleged the prosecutor had been pursuing the gas company where Hunter Biden served as a director. Stephen Portnoy, Washington.
A 42-year-old New Jersey man is accused of scouting targets for terrorists. Prosecutors say this guy was employed by Hezbollah and took pictures of dozens of locations, including the White House, Empire State Building, Statue of Liberty, and Fenway Park. Another death, the eighth in this country so far, linked to vaping. The CDC says the number of confirmed illnesses caused by e-cigs has risen to 530.
We're seeing severe cases, people sometimes in the intensive care unit, and sadly, some even dying. And we don't know yet exactly what the cause is.
The CDC's Dr. Ann Schuchat says most of the lung illnesses are linked to vaping THC. That's the psychoactive ingredient in marijuana. Texas Congressman Beto O'Rourke is doubling down on his controversial gun control policy. He supports a mandatory gun buyback program for so-called weapons of war.
Are you, in fact, in favor of gun confiscation?
Yes. When it comes to AR-15s and AK-47s, weapons designed for use on a military battlefield.
O'Rourke on CNN's Chris Cuomo show, Republican Senator John Kennedy.
Beto's copy of the Bill of Rights goes from 1 to 3. Mine includes the Second Amendment, and I've made my position very clear. I believe love is the answer, but I own a handgun just in case.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer's distanced himself from O'Rourke's gun buyback program, saying that is not where most Democrats are on the issue of gun control. Still to come on the Noon Report for Friday, Terzai, trash talks, public school teachers, why the vaccine debate matters so much, and 3 Mile Island shutting down today.
Well, a good afternoon to all. We're heading into the last weekend of summer, and it's certainly going to look and feel the part. I'll have forecast details in 10 minutes.
All right. Meteorologist Kevin Williams at the Weather Center checking the headlines where you live. Across New York and Pennsylvania, New York Congressman Tom Reed suffering from pneumonia after collapsing yesterday at the U.S. Capitol. Paramedics say he was unconscious for about 30 seconds. Reed was later treated and released from a D.C. hospital. Should be back to work next week. Buffalo police have released chilling surveillance video of a crime in progress. It shows two people walking away from a burned-out car, holding the hand of a 3-year-old boy. That boy is none other than the infamous cardboard box boy, found sleeping on a porch in a box at a Buffalo home earlier this week. Buffalo Police Chief Jeff Rinaldo.
Clearly that little boy was inside of that vehicle, and there's two human beings that burned in that vehicle. So this is a horrific, horrific crime.
The boy's grandparents are trying to regain custody. He is in the care of Child Protective Services. Authorities still trying to determine if the remains found inside the vehicle are the boy's parents. Parents of students in New York are suing the state over the new childhood vaccine law. One dad we spoke to says his 3 kids had a note from their doctor saying they were immune from the vaccine law, but their school is refusing to recognize it.
Since the state passed the law to get rid of religious exemptions, my 3 kids are now facing no schooling, where we had an awesome school, and now we are paying the taxes for that for nothing.
The vaccine debate has led to an uptick in homeschooling. Sue Waltrich of Hamburg had to quit her job as a librarian in order to homeschool her kid because of these inoculation requirements.
Immediately after the shock wore off, we knew that I was going to stay home and homeschool.
Waltrich's kitchen table, now a classroom for her son who has autism. And for her, the issue's more about science than religion.
It's hard to defend the religious because I don't belong to a organized religion. But at the same time, I really do feel like this is one of my strongest beliefs.
Waltrich has one question for those who would argue for the mandatory vaccine.
To the parents who are afraid if my child came to school, my first question would be, if vaccines work, then why are you afraid of my child?
The state health department says it will not be able to adequately assess the impact of this new law until next year. Pennsylvania's infamous 3 Mile Island shutting down today.
The clouds of steam that billowed
over Three Mile Island for more than 40 years will slowly begin to fade today. Operations will cease after the state of Pennsylvania refused to step in and help out the cash-strapped plant near Harrisburg. Of course, Three Mile Island, the scene of one of the worst nuclear accidents ever, that was back in 1979. That plant employs around 630 people. Bill Price, Family Life News.
Thank you, Bill. Embattled Buffalo Bishop Richard Malone says he is close to making a decision on whether the diocese will file for bankruptcy. When all is said and done, he expects nearly 300 lawsuits against the church under the Child Victims Act. The bishop suggesting that bankruptcy could be a better option for victims of clergy abuse.
It truly allows, I think, for a more balanced justice to the victims, because I'm told if you litigate these cases, then some of the first ones to come through will be huge, huge amounts, which will pretty much eat up the resources, so other victims down the line may get very little or nothing.
Last week, the Rochester Catholic Diocese filed for Chapter 11 protection. It's the first in the state to do so. Education Secretary Betsy DeVos made a pitch for school choice during a stop in Pennsylvania Thursday. She was there to promote scholarships for families who want to send their kids to private schools. House Speaker Mike Terzai accompanied her on the trip and offended many public school teachers by accusing them of not caring for students.
You have to care about each child, not about the monopoly, which is where I think you folks are. You're special interest people. You don't really care about the kids.
Terzai mixing it up there with public school teachers outside a private school in Harrisburg. His comments did not sit well with many involved in public education.
We can't have reporters. We can't have doctors. We can't have lawyers if we don't have teachers.
Chris Leonenthal with the Pennsylvania Education Association says he was stunned by Terzai's remarks about public educators. The Pennsylvania system of higher education approving a more than $360 tuition hike at the 14 state-owned universities. That will bring to just over $4,300 the yearly tuition rate for in-state students. A Pennsylvania politician has introduced a bill to increase the penalty for people who offer aid in suicide.
We are standing here today, still grieving and heartbroken.
The bill comes 4 months after Jackie Beaver's 25-year-old daughter, Sean, took her own life.
Can you imagine the horror we felt when we came to realize that a horrific group of website predators guided her with detailed steps on how to take her life?
Sean Shada receiving a step-by-step guide on how to end her life from an online chat room. When she later expressed regret, those in the chat room encouraged her to go through with it.
Appalling, unbelievable, unimaginable, unacceptable. Justice must be served.
What they did, their so-called advice that they provided, is absolutely reprehensible.
Republican Dawn Kiefer wants mandatory prison time for anybody who aids in a suicide. Sean's law, as it's known, would change sentencing guidelines when the victims are under 18. Jackie Beaver calls the bill her daughter's lasting legacy.
A legacy of awareness with the message that suicide isn't the answer.
Suicide is the second leading cause of death in young people today. If you like museums, you will love tomorrow. It's National Museum Day.
It's exciting. I mean, there's over 100 museums across New York State that are participating in this year's Museum Day.
Meg Ives with the Museum Association of New York.
Whether you want to be kind of a tourist in your own region or explore, expand across the state, this day provides an excellent chance to do that.
Rusty Baker heads up the Pennsylvania Federation of Museums.
Anytime you travel, it opens up your world. And when you visit a museum, you may get a glimpse of some local story that you never even thought could exist.
If you go to the National Smithsonian website, you can download free tickets for tomorrow's National Museum Day. It's 14 past the hour. Sports next, the two-minute drill. Here's Sonny.
Yeah, we start with Thursday Night Football. Rookie Gardner Minshew tossing two first-quarter touchdowns. Jaguars beating the Titans 20-7. Minshew on his doubters.
It more than anything, it motivates me because, you know,
A lot of people never thought I'd get this opportunity, so now that I do have it, I got to make the most of it.
Both teams now 1-2 in the Boogie Down Bronx, champions.
Swing and a miss, and the Yankees win, and they are champions of the American League East.
The Yanks, champions of the American League East for the first time since 2012, beating the Angels 9-1 to clinch the division and win their 100th game of the year. Manager Aaron Boone.
One of the things we talked about in spring training was winning the division, and that's a reality now. You know, obviously we have bigger goals, but this is an important step.
In Minneapolis, Nelson Cruz belted two homers, drove in five. Twins beat the Royals 8-5. Rocco Baldelli said bullpen pulled him through.
You know, our bullpen has continued to do such a nice job for us, despite being, you know, we've had to use them and those guys have been throwing. But they did it.
Twins hold a four-game lead over Cleveland in the American League Central. Good news for Cleveland. They were playing the Tigers, a team they've beaten now 17 straight times in a 7-0 shutout. Manager Terry Francona.
I don't know how to explain it. I don't have a good explanation. The only one I have is I know that we don't look back. Because if you do, I don't think things like that happen. We just kind of stay in the moment. But it's hard to explain.
The Indians are tied for the second wild card in the American League. In the National League.
Home run to make it 2-0.
Ronald Acuña Jr. hit his 40th homer of the year. Braves beat the Phillies 5-4. Acuña Jr. became just the third player to hit 40 home runs at age 21 or younger. The Phillies dropped four games out of the National League wild card. The Mets were idle. They're 3.5 back. And the Pirates fall in 11 innings to the Mariners 6-5. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphier.
All right, Sonny, thank you very much. Weekend weather, fall foliage, and Capital Connection. It's all on the way on the Family Life Noon Report.
If pastors don't preach what the Bible says about cultural issues, Christians will be confused when politicians do. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. Earlier this month, South Bend Mayor and presidential hopeful Pete Buttigieg quoted the Bible in an attempt to speak to the question of abortion. There are a lot of parts of the Bible that talk about how life begins with breath, he said. And so even that is something that we can interpret differently. If we applied the Bible in the way Mayor Pete suggests, abortion would be justified up until birth, which is, of course, a position now firmly embedded and championed across the Democratic Party. One of the ways Mayor Pete has distinguished his candidacy from all the other Democratic hopefuls for president is through constant reference to his religious faith. Already, Buttigieg has applied, and often misapplied, the Bible to support far-left positions on several cultural issues, including economic policy and same-sex marriage. These biblical misapplications are easily taken apart, or at least they should be. The Bible clearly treats unborn babies as persons. See Psalm 139, Luke 115, and Jesus clearly affirms the Genesis account of marriage as between a man and a woman. See Matthew 19. In fact, the Bible Buttigieg goes to for his political positions is missing a lot of pages, and suspiciously reads a whole lot like his party's platform. As Ross Douthat put it, Buttigieg doesn't appear to support any policy that deviates from the progressive catechism. Now, of course, Buttigieg has every right to sermonize. My concern here is what makes it effective. It certainly isn't the strength of his biblical argumentation. As I said on Twitter recently, what makes Mayor Pete's gross misapplication of scripture to cultural issues so troubling and so effective is the incredible void left when many pastors won't apply scripture to cultural issues. Buttigieg is filling a void that's been left by pastors who only teach the Bible as a personal private self-help book in order to help us find our purpose, improve our lives, and to feel closer to God. A friend responded to my tweet with this one that even further clarifies the problem that Buttigieg is revealing in the church. Also, he said, he's very nice. Reducing Christianity to bland platitudes and vague kindness leaves us utterly defenseless when the snake oil salesman is vaguely kind too. Exactly. Look, do the math. Too many Christians never hear the Bible applied to cultural issues. Too many Christians are left with the impression that Christianity is all about being nice and happy. Mayor Pete seems nice and happy. Mayor Pete applies the Bible to cultural issues. As one of my Tennessee friends used to say, this ain't rocket surgery. Christianity is, of course, personal, but it's not private. To say, as Jesus' first followers did, that Christ is Lord is to state a public truth. Christ is sovereign, not just over our salvation, but over everything. And if Christianity is true, its truth applies to every sphere of life. I'm grateful for those pastors and preachers, and there are many of them, who clearly and courageously, week in and week out, articulate the whole truth of the Bible, working out its implications from the pulpit for the cultural moment in which we live. There's a scene in Remember the Titans, remember that movie, in which Denzel Washington's character tells his white assistant coach to stop coddling the team's African-American players. He knows the racist hatred these young men will face. You're not preparing them for the real world, he said. You're crippling them for life. In the same way, pastors who use the scripture to coddle our emotions but never apply scripture to hot-button issues will leave their flocks cripplingly vulnerable whenever politicians twist the Bible for their own ends. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 past the hour, weekend weather with Kevin next. All right, last weekend of summer, going out with a bang. Thank you, Kevin. It is Friday, September the 20th, and this is the Noon Report. And welcome back to another edition of Capital Connection, Fridays during the Noon Report. We give you, the listener, direct connection to what's happening in Albany and Harrisburg with the experts on the issues at the state capitals. They are this week Jason McGuire of New Yorkers for Constitutional Freedom's fly-in solo, Michael Gear, incognito, as it were. He'll return to the program next week. But Jason, there is plenty to talk about in New York State. Let's start with the vaccine debate. This week, Lindenville High School, a student plucked from a classroom because she did not meet the vaccine requirements. We're seeing stories like this all over the place. The rights of Christians in the public square here. What's the end game here? How do you see this ultimately being resolved?
Well, that is the question of the hour. As we're seeing in schools across the state, kids are being plucked out of classrooms. They're being put into quarantine situations. While there are kids there that are also not vaccinated for perhaps medical reasons, they're allowed to remain in the classroom. So you have some interesting dynamics that are playing out. And you do have some concern here, because there are some genuine religious liberty concerns for people who, for example, are opposed to some of the fetal stem cells that are used in vaccinations. Mm. And so I am concerned about this. How does it play out? Well, we're looking at the courts to see what's going to happen. I'm not overly optimistic on the initial cases that are being heard on this matter. So I think what's going to result in is a lot of places are going to see homeschool students, as these students will ultimately be homeschooled, or they're actually going to be moving out of state. We're hearing a number of families that are leaving the state, choosing states that are more respectful of their religious liberty concerns.
And the state health department said even today it won't have a hard number on this until next year. That's probably when we'll see the other shoe drop here.
Keep in mind that we've got 26,000 students out of a state of 20 million people. And so if you got 26,000 students that aren't vaccinated, those are not enormous numbers mm-hmm. in a state of 20 million. So keep it in perspective.
Yeah. Big numbers on the abortion debate this week. Guttmacher Institute, the abortion rate, Jason, has never been this low since they've been keeping statistics. Still, sadly, over 850,000 abortions a year. But it is a trend in the right direction. What's driving this?
Yeah, it's a great trend. You know, speaking of statistics and looking at those numbers, you know, we're able to see that the incrementalism of the pro-life movement is making gains. And what I mean by that is that there have been several hundred pro-life bills that have advanced in just the last few years that is helping to drive down those numbers. I also believe you're looking into the window of the womb, as we call it, with the 4D ultrasounds and all of the technology today. It is becoming harder and harder to say that it is not a baby in the mother's womb. And so people are making gains. And let me just give a huge shout-out to pro-life pregnancy centers all across this country that are standing in the gap, and they're helping women to see that they aren't going to go this alone, that there is people standing by ready to help them when they choose to carry their babies to term. I think all of those things coming together are helping to really reverse this trend outside of the legislation with Roe. in the, even here in New York with abortion expansion legislation, we are seeing folks at the pro-life pregnancy center standing in the gap and saving lives.
Yeah, that's good to see. New York City passes a law, counselor coercion law, which we've been talking about in this program, and then it tries to repeal the law it passed. How come?
Yeah, it's a strategic surrender is what we have called it. Essentially, when this was passed a couple of years ago, we said it was unconstitutional. We believed it would be overturned in court. And now, as the Trump administration is changing the face of the courts, New York City liberals have been very concerned over this, and the LGBT activists are now repealing a law or urging this law be repealed so that it will not be defeated in court. They are fearful that a court precedent against them would set them back not just in New York City, but all across the nation with similar legislation.
Well, the courts are busy this year in New York with the Child Victims Act. They have a year to file. Your thoughts on this landmark legislation? It's not just impacting parochial schools or Catholic Church. It's also impacting organizations like the Boy Scouts, public schools as well. Any concerns, Jason, are there safeguards into the law that would keep this from being misused or even abused?
Well, you know, let me just say I'm of two minds in this legislation, because on one hand, we certainly do want to see justice for the victims, and there clearly are numerous victims that have been impacted by sexual abuse and in institutions all across our state, and those victims should see justice. The other side of the coin, though, is that with no statute of limitations on this, it's very difficult to defend against these types of charges. And so are there concerns that some of this could be an abuse of justice today for those institutions? Yeah, that's a real concern. I would say that we are not at the moment seeing too much of that, thankfully. Mm. It looks like there is just continues to be scandal coming out of some of the larger institutions that, frankly, some house cleaning has to occur. And we're thankful and we're grateful that there is some light being shown on those areas.
And is it time for the Bishop of Buffalo, Richard Malone, to go? Jason, there was a poll from Buffalo News this week. 86% of Catholics in the diocese say he has lost his credibility to lead the church. What say you?
Well, again, it's difficult. I'm an evangelical. I'm not a Catholic, and so I don't know that I can speak to that. Mm-hmm. But I would say this, that the bishop of a diocese is not the same as the CEO of a company. That is a role that the church determines, and the Catholic Church structure, that is not a simple up or down majority vote. This is something that really the church is going to have to do some deep introspection on and consider if they believe that Bishop Malone is the best person to lead that diocese going forward.
All right, let's talk about the gun control debate a little bit as we talk about these red flag laws which are going up in light of recent mass shootings. This one kind of caught our attention in New York, giving the schools, and this would include teachers and administrators, authority to coerce courts. Meaning they would not have to go to law enforcement agency, could go to a judge himself to get firearms confiscated. Your thoughts on that?
Well, my concern is that oftentimes, not always, oftentimes teachers will not share my same views on some of these issues. So, for example, in Albany, one of the issues that I am often badly against is the teachers' unions on things like abortion expansion, bathroom bill legislation, and yes, even some of the Second Amendment issues. While our organization does not get heavily into that area, we are aware of where the teachers' unions are on some of those issues. So we are concerned that this could be misused and could be abused. I think allowing it to go to the teachers is perhaps a little too far. Should be looking at family members, keeping it to a closer inner circle. But there is, I think, some concern as we begin to look broader than just the immediate family concerning an individual and whether or not they should have firearms in the home.
All right, Jason, just a couple more issues. There's a lot of debate this week about vaping in New York. The governor says these shops that sell flavored e-cigs have got to go. Kids are sucking in poisonous air here, and it's marketed to kids. But at the same time, pushing the marijuana, is it a bit hypocritical of the governor to go hard on this one end, but yet at the same time push? Because a lot of the problems they're seeing with these lung illnesses, pot is involved with those particular devices. Your thoughts on this vaping debate in New York?
Well, if we step back and look at a worldview perspective for a minute, I just remember that the only consistent worldview is a biblical worldview. If you let the other worldviews talk long enough, they begin to break down. And here's the consistent inconsistency, if you will, on the vaping situation. And you alluded to it. Essentially, while the state is looking to advocate for smoking pot, We are not allowing the vaping. And from a strictly constitutional perspective, I have a hard time watching the government in just a matter of 10 days essentially wipe out this industry. Now, I'm terribly opposed to it. I don't like the way it's spreading, and I don't like how it's being targeted towards children.
Mm-hmm.
But today it's vaping. You wonder what it really could be next or where the government will go in these types of things. So part of living in a land of liberty is recognizing when that liberty is being violated, even by people whom I disagree with. And there are certainly people that have opened up vaping shops and others that I would like to see their concerns addressed and to have their rights respected as well.
Ever so often, it doesn't happen often, but ever so often, you raise enough of a ruckus, you get your voice heard, and apparently the governor has heard New Yorkers when it comes to these new license plates. He has caved on this. Your thoughts, Jason?
Yeah, I think it's a great example of how when people stand together, they can make a difference. You know, sometimes the only thing that the stopped ears in Albany will hear is really the deafening thunder of the hoofbeats coming.
Mm.
And they could sense that on this issue. This was one they were not going to win on. They saw it clearly for what it was, a money grab. And essentially, Governor Andrew Cuomo had to cave to his own policy regarding the license plate fiasco. And so I think it's a big win for the people of New York State.
The power of the people at work. So many issues this week. Hard to believe the fastest 10 minutes in radio. Capital Connection on Fridays during the Noon Report. If you've got questions about the great work you do, Jason, where can folks find you?
AlbanyUpdate.com.
All right, Capital Connection airs every Friday at noon or online anytime, fln.org/news. You can download our daily news features at fln.org/podcast.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. Well, here we are counting down the final days of summer, and we do so with some summery air on the way. The warmth and humidity will result from a southwest breeze that will precede a front. That'll be our best chance of showers when that front arrives, and that'll be Sunday night into Monday. In the meantime, for this afternoon, plenty of sunshine and pleasantly warm, high in the 70s and lower 80s. Mainly clear tonight, not as cool as recent nights, but there will again be fog in some of the valleys overnight, low temperatures in the 50s. For the weekend, noticeably more humid and warm. We'll have a good deal of sunshine. There could be a spot shower here and there, but the vast majority of the time rain-free. High temperatures approaching 80 tomorrow. Many areas breaking into the 80s on Sunday.
Hard to believe. Last official weekend of summer. Thank you, Kevin. As that night air turns crisp, maybe you've glimpsed a peek of the fall foliage starting to present itself ever so subtly. Family Life's resident leaf peeper, Tracy Lynn, fills us in.
So far, a couple of spots in the Adirondacks are showing 25% of leaf changes, including shades of gold, orange, cranberry, and red. Volunteers are keeping track of the color change progress. The Empire State's I Love New York website charts maps for best leaf peeping posts and activities, with some peak color expected to arrive as early as next weekend. Meanwhile, the Farmer's Almanac expects peak color to spread across Pennsylvania from October 5th through 21st. Tracy Lynn, Family Life News.
Thank you, Tracy. Love those fall colors. And that's the world we live in. Friday, September 20th. I'm Bob Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.